Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. I'm your host, Matt Calder, and today we will be talking with Susan Myrick and Francis DeLuca, both of the Civitas Institute, we will be tuning into a conversation between Francis and Susan about the annual unaffiliated poll that came out in August. We already had a short segment on this poll, but this is the in-depth version of this poll. This is the in-depth discussion from Susan and Francis, and maybe they ran away a little bit on this, but it is full, chock full of just little tidbits and information about the poll. But before we get to that, I want to talk about subscribing to the podcast. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, it is the simplest way for you to listen to the show and get it to your inbox, to your device, to your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever device you're listening on. And all you need to do that is go search What Matters in North Carolina, where you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, and you will be able to get the show there. Now, also, you can subscribe, but you should also engage with us. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. And the best way to do that is on Twitter and Facebook, is on social media by following us and liking our page. And that is What Matters NC. That is What Matters NC on Twitter and Facebook. Also, if you just can't get enough of What Matters in North Carolina, you can listen to more episodes of the show on the Freedom Action Network website at freedomactionnetwork.com. And you can also catch the other episodes on the Freedom Action Network, the NC Gun Dad Show, and also the Free to Brew Show with our very own Greg Pulcher. So make sure you go on the website and check those out. So without further ado, we will listen into this conversation between Francis and Susan.
This is Francis DeLuca, the president of Civitas Institute, and joining me is Susan Myrick, our elections policy analyst, and we're going to be talking about this month's unaffiliated poll and about unaffiliated voters in general. Just kind of to give you a rundown, unaffiliated voters is the fastest growing group, single group of voters in North Carolina. When we talk about them as a group, people register in North Carolina one of four ways. They register as Libertarians, as Republicans, as Democrats, or they don't register and then they fall into unaffiliated.
Well, they don't register as a party.
Right. They register.
They register to vote, but don't pick a party.
Right. And then they are considered unaffiliated voters. I don't think there isn't a check block on there for unaffiliated. Just
I believe there is.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I believe there is. Yes.
It's been so long since I've registered.
You can choose to be unaffiliated.
That's right. Yeah. You can.
You sure can.
And in fact, I'm talking to an unaffiliated.
That's correct. And then there's a lot of people that are choosing to be not affiliated with any party. A lot of people, actually.
Well, before we get into the polling data of unaffiliated voters, let's talk about a little what's happening in North Carolina. And, you know some statistics on it, so do you want to?
Well, we saw a trend begin, and it began all the way back after the 2008 election, starting in 2009, and we've been tracking it since that time using the State Board of Elections voter registration data, and we put it on our website, which is carolinatransparency.com. But what we've seen and it's steady, it's very steady, that Democrats are losing voters. Since 2009, they've lost almost a quarter of a million voters from their total vote rolls.
And I do not remember this. Was 2009 their high water mark for registration?
Yes. After that 2000, I believe so. That's a good question, but I believe so. The 2008 election was, if anybody would stop and look at it, there were so many voters registered to vote, and immediately afterwards, those numbers came crashing down. It lends itself to questions.
When people talk about vote fraud, they tend to ignore all that how many, literally hundreds of thousands of people disappeared off the voting rolls right after the election.
Right afterwards. Now, after every general election, they do what they call list maintenance, and they get those voters who are considered inactive and haven't been voting for a number of years. They move them, but there were a lot of people that voted in 2008 that immediately disappeared. Anyway, so the Democrats have lost a quarter of a million voters thereabouts. Republicans have been gaining, but very few. It's over 40,000 since 2009.
Total, because they lost voters too after.
They did. Well, they lose Yes, that's
people,
right.
People
that's
died,
right.
People moved.
But the net gain is over about 45,000, 46,000. Unaffiliated voters have grown by over 600,000 voters since 2009, almost 700,000. So what we're seeing right now is the number of unaffiliated voters just about to overtake Republicans in North Carolina by they're just about 4,000 voters off.
And you gave me a figure the other day. It's about every week there's about 2,600 more, averaging 2,600 or so more unaffiliated voters join the rolls.
That's right. At least. I mean, that's what we're going to see in about 2 weeks, unaffiliated numbers go over Republicans. And when I wrote that article a couple of months ago, you know, the Republicans just lost it, you know. But that wasn't the point of the article at all. The point was to look at the Democrats because it's just by sheer numbers, and unaffiliated voters were so much closer to Republicans because the Republicans have always been the minority party in North Carolina. But it's the Democrats that are losing actual voters and by percentages, where Republicans are staying as part of the voting block about the same percentage.
So you would give me that there are eight counties now where unaffiliated are the largest single group of voters,
right,
in the county. And, you know, the top five, let's see, I actually wrote this down.
Darren Watauga have been the stalwarts. They started
Currituck.
And then came Currituck, right.
Right. And then you also have Transylvania and Henderson. And as when I looked at that, I said, well, these things have in common is the retirement area.
That's right.
That's right.
But I look at the mountains as being very independent people, too. I think you can't tell them what to do.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of independent retirees up
there. There are.
You know,
and I guess you could look at the Outer Banks the same way.
Yeah, a lot of retirees have moved to the Outer Banks, plus, you know, both areas of the state do have an independent streak in them.
Right.
It's, you know, the mountains, though, tend to have a lot more of what we fondly refer to as halfbacks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There are people who move to Florida and then realize they
in the summer, they go halfway back to the mountains.
They've moved
that's
back
right.
permanently, though,
right.
to North Carolina because
right.
they want to be closer to home and they want seasons, but they don't want to be too far south.
Way from, yeah, it gets hot down there.
Yeah, so, but it's those counties, and as I explain to people when they ask, is a lot of states don't register by political party. Both Virginia and South Carolina, you do not register by party in either
wow.
of them. So, you know, when people don't register and when they choose to register unaffiliated, a lot of people think they're making that choice. A lot of it is because they're not used to doing that and they don't want to do that. They're still,
sure.
They still identify with a party, but they don't register that way.
Absolutely. And I think most of the unaffiliated, well, they have their ideology. They are not moderates. So that moderate word, I think, is overused because I don't think there's many moderates anywhere. I think you have an opinion one way or the other. And you can look at their voting history and see that they have opinions.
Well, and that's a good jumping off place. So let's talk about the poll. So this poll was taken at the beginning of August. We do every year since 2010, we've done a poll of unaffiliated voters. And these are people who are registered unaffiliated voters, and they're people who have voted in one of the last two major elections, either in this case, 2014 or 2016, or have newly registered. So in this case, we get lots of new voters. And we ask them a series of questions, and we've been doing this, like I said, every August since 2010, so we have a history of them.
And Francis, if I can say right before we get started, we've got to mention also another reason why people vote. Register as unaffiliated, because in North Carolina you're allowed to pick a different primary ballot. You can either go in and pick the Democrat, the Republican ballot. So I wanted to make sure that we got that in.
Which gives me an idea, and we should probably do an analysis of the whole and see how many people actually have voted in different primaries.
That would be a great analysis.
Then we could see if people
right.
are using that, or if they're pretty much what's the majority that they're voting in.
Right. That would be an interesting.
A lot of people don't understand look. How much information is in the voting database.
That one would be a I think a job for the Board of Elections to do for us instead of us doing. That would be a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay. I think she's telling me something, so we'll move on. One of the questions, you know, speaking of which, you just talked about, are they moderate? or whatever. We ask a question, are you liberal, moderate, or conservative in your political beliefs? And in this year's, 40% of the people said they were conservative, 30% said liberal, and 28% said moderate. So the least is moderate. They've picked one or the other sides. Now, that 30% is kind of a high we've had. And I said when I was talking to the group of people when we presented this that I think a lot of this is in reaction to Donald Trump, who has been, and I'm not saying this against Donald Trump, he's been a polarizing figure.
No, and I think moderates, like I said, I don't believe they really are moderates. I think they're actually dropping off or picking up and saying, no, I'm not a moderate. I'm going to finally tell the truth. I'm a liberal.
The high watermark for moderates in our polling was around 40% back in 2014. And since that time, it's been gradually declining down to the 28% level. Like I said, we saw a spike up in liberal this time, a spike down in conservatives. And I think some of that is because the media has painted Donald Trump as a conservative. And whether, you know, he's done a lot of conservative things, but a lot of people personally don't like Donald Trump, so that whatever he is, they're not. They kind of instinctively pick that, be they on the left or the right.
And the conservatives really did spike before the election. I mean, we hadn't seen it that high before.
In 2016, right. They did. You're right.
So getting back to 40% is pretty high.
It's pretty much where they've been, and it's where the rest of the voters are in the state. So you're right. A good thing. And if you want to see all this data, you can go to nccivitas.org, and all of the polling data, the questions and the cross tabs, which are the insides of the poll, are posted up on the site. So nccivitas.org, and you can see all this for yourself. We also asked two other kind of conservative liberal questions on social issues like abortion and marriage. Do you generally consider yourself to be a liberal, moderate, or conservative? And in this, 39% of the people call themselves conservative, 34% call themselves liberal, and 23% moderate. So again, you know, a lot of people go, well, these people are conservative on fiscal and they're liberal on social issues, but this shows that they're still more conservative on social. They're moderately liberal on social, but they're definitely not moderate on social. That's right. The least number we got. And to follow up immediately, we asked them on fiscal issues like taxes and government spending, do you generally consider yourself to be moderate, liberal, or conservative? 43% of them said conservative, 38% said moderate, 14% liberal. So
that one surprises me.
They definitely not liberal on fiscal issues.
Right.
So the part about them being conservative on fiscal, that tracks with it. But the moderate on fiscal is issue. That's the highest,
Right. That's the highest liberal I've seen, too.
14. Well, it's pretty much.
Oh, is that the 14? Okay.
That tracks with
that's
where
about right.
That's about where they are every time.
You're right.
And the same on the, and if you look over time on all of these, they tend, even though they spike up and down, you can see where they are.
There's a trend line there where you expect to find them.
Right. They generally come back and forth where they are. So, but we asked them two questions on what's the most important issues. We asked them an open-ended question where they get to say what it is, and we asked them a close-ended. And on the open-ended, they gave us stuff that was education-related, education, teacher pay, and everything. About 24%, about a quarter of them said this was important stuff. On the close-end, they said improving public education by 27%. So what they volunteered tracked with what, when we gave them an option of either picking improving public education, economy and jobs, reducing health care costs, government corruption, holding down taxes, illegal immigration, and budgeting and spending, they picked public education 27% of the time.
And Francis, wouldn't you expect, now we're talking about the unaffiliated voters in North Carolina, wouldn't you expect the same answers from the liberal, from Democrats and Republicans also?
This would be about what we get if we polled the general public. So it shows that the unaffiliated is not that different than the general voting public. They just happen to be unaffiliated.
That's right.
That's point.
Right.
So 20% of them said health care of some type in the open-ended. And then the close-ended, 15% said it. So the top three on both sides were the same. Economy and jobs for open-ended was 16%. On the one where we gave them the thing, 19%. So the top three were education, healthcare, and economy and jobs on both sides, just kind of finished different things. But, you know, the vast majority of people care about that. Now, on the close-ended, when we give them a close-ended, government corruption jumps up to 9%.
So I could hear them going, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, but this is a polling sidelight. You know, a lot of times you get an answer in a poll and people go, "Oh, that's bad for somebody." But it may not be the what people make their decision up on.
Right,
they may
right.
pick it, but that's really not what they're voting on.
And that's not what they're thinking about when they're voting. But, yeah, it's important to them.
So let's talk about the fun stuff. Let's talk about job approvals and how people think of people.
Okay.
We asked about Donald Trump's, you know, what do people think? Are they favorable or unfavorable opinion? 51% said unfavorable, 40% for favorable. But, you know, almost the exact same numbers as when we polled candidate Donald Trump back in August of 2016.
With unaffiliated voters, that's right. That's exactly right.
Almost exactly the same numbers as last year. So
they really haven't changed their opinion of him.
No, I looked at that and I said, well, I think he won North Carolina fairly handily. So I think that's pretty, you know, for him, not
it's good news.
Good news for
good
him.
News.
At least in North Carolina.
Right.
Roy Cooper, the governor. He does a little better than Donald Trump. He is 43% favorable, 23% unfavorable. And, you know, we've tracked his numbers back since 2015. And he's gradually improved. His unfavorable, those have actually gone up as he's become better known. When we first tracked him back in 2015, he was at 14% unfavorable. He's now at 23% unfavorable.
So is that mean that 33% have no opinion? That's an interesting number.
Yeah. He's still, I mean, even though he was attorney general for 16 years, now he's been governor, and he still has a lot of people who don't know what they think of him.
Right.
And which, you know.
Honestly, that's a good thing for a politician, isn't it?
Yeah.
It
can be. Of course, it could be a bad thing if somebody did
came
something.
Up and started painting him in a way that.
In an unfavorable
in
light.
An unfavorable
But the media
light.
Is not going to do that.
No.
He's safe.
That's right.
So we asked a couple of national figures to, you know, kind of have a little fun. Nancy Pelosi, 55% unfavorable, 19% favorable. She is not a very popular person. She's even...
I would call her unlikable.
Unlikable, yeah. She's even negative among women 18 to 44, which
That's
is surprising.
That's saying a lot, too, when you've got women who just vote for women because they're women.
And she's barely popular among liberals, on self-professed liberals. She's barely popular. Mitch McConnell, we have him.
Another unlikable.
45% unfavorable, 17% favorable. Conservatives don't like Mitch McConnell. He's the Republican leader in the U.S. Senate. So he's 31% unfavorable with conservatives and 28% favorable. Pretty much across the board, there's nobody who really likes Mitch McConnell.
I mean, unlikable.
That's not among unaffiliated. Chuck Schumer, the
another
Democrat,
unlikable.
Democratic leader, 34% unfavorable, 18% favorable. Nothing really to point out.
Those 18%, they are hardcore, aren't they?
Well, that's mainly the liberals.
Right.
Liberals do like him,
right.
30 to 20.
So he
has that, but pretty much across the board on everything else. Even African Americans, 27-7, find him unfavorable. And, you know, he's the Democratic leader in the Senate. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, 42% unfavorable, 32% favorable.
And honestly, this would look bad if you hadn't looked at the previous three.
If you hadn't read those,
But because you see, you get to look at Schumer and Pelosi and McConnell, you come to Paul Ryan and you go, well, you know what? That doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, Paul Ryan, His biggest support base is among the people who self-describe conservatives. He's at 49-26 with them.
But it's 32% favorable and 42% unfavorable
right.
for him.
Now, we asked about job approval. So Roy Cooper's job approval, he's at much better than his image, 56% approve, 27% disapprove. So I think he's doing a pretty good job. And he pretty much runs the table on that. Everyone thinks he's doing a good job, including conservatives, by 41-35%. And so this is a pretty solid number.
And because he's not done anything wrong.
Right.
That's what job approval is, isn't it?
And it's, you know, interesting.
A perception, anyway.
Yeah. Interesting, in the handling of issues. At this point in Pat McCrory's term, he'd had the coal ash spill and how the press and everybody responded to coal ash is very different than the press has responded to the Gen X spill in the Cape Fear River and the way that has been handled. Right. That's kind of an interesting case study.
That coal ash spill happened 12 days into McCrory's administration, and they made it his fault,
right,
which is amazing.
Yeah. And that's in the environmental group spent literally millions of dollars running ads against him on coal ash and against Republicans in general. And so far, I'm still waiting for the first ad from the environmental groups on
Gen X.
Yeah.
And you hear crickets.
Yeah, crickets.
But that's because Pat McCrory's not there anymore.
No. Donald Trump job approval, 53% disapprove, 43% approve. And other than, you know, there's a few, he's got a few groups that like him, 41 to 55. Conservatives are strongly in support of him, 78 to 17. Of course, liberals, on the other hand, disapprove. Right. 94% to 4%. I mean, not a lot of surprise here. Men slightly approve of them more than the other groups. But we've been asking this question, and we asked this last year, and it's kind of a truth teller on them. And we say, even though I may not approve the job Donald Trump is doing as president, I do like some of the actions he is taking. When we ask that, and this was asked of everyone who said they disapprove of what he's doing.
Right.
And that was
not everybody in general, but just that.
Yeah. That was 53%. And so that was 226 of the 400 people we polled. And I didn't even give the numbers. We polled 400 people, and it's got a margin of error of around 4+%. So this pretty, you know, the polling numbers are accurate. But of that 53%. 30% of those people agreed with that statement.
They liked some of the things he was doing.
Right, 30%. And so, you know, and again, conservatives were the most. Men, again, went along with that. So what we do is we look at that. So what we've done is taken out of that 53% negative, 30% of those people would say, yeah, there's some things I like. So now what we can do is we can then look at that and say, all right, if we add those somewhat in the ones who already said, what we end up with is a 60% number for Trump supporters. In some way, 60% of these
approve
people
of
support what he's doing, a job approval in some way.
So in other words, you're looking at a person and saying nobody's perfect.
Right.
But you like some of the things they're doing.
And this helps to explain how do you win elections with these kind of polling numbers, which he did. And right. So this is kind of the underlying thing that a lot of people are ignoring, is that there are Trump supporters who maybe won't say they support him. And so when you look at it, we've ran down and 99% of Republican women. This is, again, all in the unaffiliated. People who identify as Republican men, 97. Conservatives, 93. Socially conservatives, 86. People who said they were previously registered Republicans, 85. So they may have been previous, but they're still, you know, supportive of Republicans. Fiscally conservative, 84. Pro-life, 80%. Men are heavily, 78%. And we looked at where does Trump's true support come from, and we see that, you know, where it is, the Triangle region is only at 50%, which is not surprising. But then you look at some other places where, like in the Charlotte region, he has 67% true support. When you approve, would like some actions, you come up to 67%. Men are at 71%, women 51%, African Americans 51% of them like either approve of the job or like some actions he's taking. You just go through it. Men 18 to 44, 78%. Men 45 to 64, 65%. The moderates, that great moderate class in here, 62% of them. The conservatives, 93%. He even gets up to 17% among liberal, because
so they'll agree with something that he's doing.
13% of them like some of his actions.
Wow.
So we asked a question, how people voted in November of 2016, and they said 43% for Donald Trump, 40% for Hillary, and the 17% were either for Gary Johnson or they refused. So that was.
So what you're saying is 43% said they voted for Donald Trump and they would vote for him now.
They said they would vote. They voted for him. That was the breakup of this category. So
okay.
It kind of gives you an indication, because people sometimes say they voted for someone even when they didn't.
Right. Oh, yeah. Especially if they're the winner.
Right. But when we said, you know, because there's this talk that people are losing faith in Donald Trump or they wouldn't support him again. So we ask, how would they vote now if given a chance to vote, revote in this election? And the outcome was 43 for Donald Trump, 39 for Hillary Clinton, and 9%.
So it actually went down.
Yeah. And a number of the people who refused actually switched their votes over to Gary Johnson. So we did get a kind of a, you know.
Donald Trump is holding steady.
Donald Trump is holding steady. He's not losing his core group of support, which, you know, is the, for him, is probably the important thing. And again, if you're interested in looking at these numbers, nccivitas.org, and you can get it. You get the actual questions and the top lines, we call them, the big numbers, and then look at some of the breakdowns inside it. We also ask a question every time, generic state legislative ballot. We say, if the election for state legislature in your area were held today, would you be voting for the Republican candidate, Democrat candidate? And we rotate these. We'll say Democrat, sometimes Republican. 36 said Democratic, 30% say Republican. And we track that over time. And right now, so that's a 6-point gap, 36 for Democrats, 30 for that. And it kind of sounds like a, you know, very big number. And then, so I went back and looked, 2013, the year before the big 2014 election, it was a 10-point gap for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, 2011.
If you look at the timeline,
yeah, it fluctuates.
It looks exactly like it looks since 2010, yeah. Back and forth.
And people always want to go, oh, it looks like the Republicans are going to get wiped out. And you kind of look at it over time. You also have to look at some of the inside numbers. You know, the truth is a lot of Republican-leaning voters are not happy with the Republicans because in Congress they didn't get rid of Obamacare.
Right.
Which brings us to our next one. What do people think about Obamacare? And we have 46% unfavorable, 44% favorable. And the key there is conservatives are 75-13, and that's the core voting for the Republicans in here. They are unhappy with Obamacare, so they're, I believe, this is my opinion, they're unhappy with Republicans for not getting rid of it.
In Congress. And they're not blaming Donald Trump for this.
No, but they may not come out to vote for Republicans.
They may not. Donald Trump's not going to be on the ticket.
And we ask a question, what should be done about Obamacare? And we gave them three choices. We said repeal and replace with a market-based plan that offers more choice, keep all of it as is, repeal some of it, but keep some of it. And so the answer with that, only 16% of the people said keep all of it as is. Very little support for doing that. Even liberals don't support that. Only 30% of the liberals supported that. 36% said repeal and replace with a market-based system. And again, the conservatives were the biggest proponent of that. That was 59%. Liberals not so keen on that, only 15%. But then the biggest was 42% repeal some of it, but keep some of it. And unsurprisingly, moderates and liberals were very much in support of that. But, you know, again, that was 42. If you add up the people who said repeal of some kind and then something else, that's 78% of the people think something needs to be done.
And I don't, if I recall, before the 2014 election, those numbers haven't changed much. The people do not like Obamacare in total.
And they want something done. And this is where I think they view the Republicans as having made a promise and then not kept
That's
it.
That's right.
So it's going to be interesting to see if the people, again, I keep saying this, is that the base of the party, are they going to be excited to turn out in 2018 to keep a Republican Congress? And I have a real question as to whether or not they're going to show up.
Well, looking at the Trump numbers, looking at the congressional numbers, it's about draining the swamp. I believe that's what it comes back to, because they are tired of lies and being told one thing and it not happening.
And I want at the end of this, we're going to run through a couple things real quick, and then we're going to talk about that swamp thing, because I heard an interesting thing I wanted to bring up. So way off polling, but we'll talk about it. Okay, we've asked a question about exploring for oil and natural gas off the North Carolina coast. 47% support, 44% opposed. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the northeast part of the state, which is where a lot of it will be centered, very 64 to 28 in support of that.
Wow.
So
they want jobs.
They want jobs.
They want jobs.
Death penalty for first degree murder, 58 to 32, 58 support, 32 oppose. And it's been pretty consistent from the time we've been polling. And then one of my favorite is school choice. Let's do the impact of taxes. 48% of the people believe tax increases harm economic growth and cause jobs to be lost. I should just stop right there.
That's a good number.
And, you know, consistently.
And it gets better, though. I mean.
Yeah. Only 16% tax increases will improve the economy by adding revenue to government. And that number actually has been going down over time. We first asked that question in 2011. It was at 27%.
16%. Amazing.
So it continues to go down. That question continues to go down. And then 21% think tax increases have no real effect on the economy and job creation. And that number is fairly steady. There's about a fifth of the people out there who don't think taxes really hurt or help.
Interesting.
School choice is my favorite subject. So we ask a question, and I've got to read this. North Carolina now has an education savings account for special needs and children of military families. This program directs state funds to eligible families to spend in education needs such as instructional supplies, private school tuition, or private tutors and therapists. With that in mind, which of the following statement comes closer to your opinion of the issue of school choice in public schools?
And again, I have to say it because I have to keep reminding myself, we're talking about unaffiliated voters here.
Just unaffiliated,
and it's at 64%.
They believe it will improve education, while only 26% think that moving children out of public schools will weaken public education. And this is, as I tell people, there is no controversy in this.
No.
School choice people believe in. There's a very limited set of people who don't believe in school choice.
And they're led by the governor.
Right. African Americans, 58 to 33. Men,
believe
women.
What? 58%
believe in school choice.
In school choice. That's right.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, liberals even believe in school choice by 50 to 40.
So why does Governor Cooper not believe in school choice?
I don't know. He completely opposes school choice. I said the only place where you really find majorities against school choice is in editorial offices, on newspaper staffs, and in TV stations. Pretty much other than that, across the state.
And now in the governor's office.
Which, you know, it'll be interesting. So, your favorite topic. I'll let you read this because you love this.
This is unaffiliated voters. And again, I have to keep telling myself that. But unaffiliated voters in the voter photo ID question, it mirrors what the people of North Carolina and really across the nation believe. 71% in all believe that we need to show a photo ID to access the ballot box. That's 71% of the voters, and I think it's across all demographics. Am I right?
Yeah.
63% of African Americans think it's a good idea to show a photo ID. It's just the least we can do. And Francis, I don't believe in this whole made-up controversy in North Carolina over photo ID, voter photo ID, that they've ever come up with one person that doesn't have one and can't vote because of it.
Or can't get one.
But this is typical. I mean, we've seen that in Georgia. We saw it in Indiana. It is the typical made-up controversy by the left. And, okay, so 71% believe we should support it, whether it's strongly or
somewhat.
And only 27% are against people showing a voter ID.
We started asking this in 2013, right after they passed the law that instituted photo ID in North Carolina. Back, you know, as the left liked to call it, the massive voter suppression law.
And so in 2013 it was at 64%, and now it's 71%.
Right, it's amazing. It's gone up. Remarkable. Despite all of the things, and even like you said, African Americans support it.
I think all demographics,
The only demographic that doesn't support it by a majority is liberals, self-described liberals.
And they're at 50% against.
And 48 support. So that's basically a tie
right.
with the margin of error. So they're at, you know.
So the big question is.
Why don't we have it?
Why don't we have it?
Because of a couple of judges on the North, on the U.S. Fourth Circuit.
And if I may say, radical political
right. in
judges.
Fact, one of the key ones was Jim Wynn, a former judge here in North Carolina who never, I don't think he ever won election to a judicial
office. He finally
office.
Got appointed.
He kept getting appointed and then would lose his next election
right.
run. In fact, as I pointed out, Jim Wynn did a get-out-the-vote effort with
William Barber,
who was a plaintiff in the lawsuit that then Jim Wynn ruled on.
That's right. We would never recuse himself.
No. So I said I was going to mention something about
draining the swamp.
Draining the swamp. You brought it up, and I heard an interesting thing by someone talking about it. And they were talking about how the Tea Party, when the Tea Party rose, that the people in Washington viewed the Tea Party as the enemy, that they were the threat. Now, then remember, this is why, and I'm talking about Republicans viewed it as a threat. This
right.
is while Republicans were in the minority in the House and Senate. Barack Obama controlled the White House. Democrats fully controlled the Congress.
That's right.
And the Tea Party people showed up, and all of the Republicans in Congress thought that these people were the threat.
Mm-hmm. And that's so interesting.
You know, that people who took their own time, their own money to come to Washington were a threat to them. Because they really didn't want to do anything. They just wanted to be there. And the fact that these people would show up kind of made them feel like, oh, my God, one of these people may run against me.
Right.
And so they were the threat. And I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of our supporters and everything were involved in the Tea Party movement or supported it. Maybe they didn't get involved, but they supported the ideas. And for the Republican elected officials, for the RNC to view these people as a threat, tells you everything you need to know about the mentality inside the swamp we call the District of Columbia.
Right, right.
So with that happy note, again, if you're interested in finding out anything about the polling, nccivitas.org, and you can find out everything.
And we'll go back to polling all segments of the population in the next Civitas poll.
Right, and we're going to have another lunch on October 26th, and that's going to be at the Holiday Inn downtown, at the Round Holiday Inn.
At the Round Holiday Inn.
And that'll be lunch, so if you're interested in coming, I welcome you, and you can find out information at nccivitas.org. And again, this has been Francis DeLuca and
Susan Myrick.
Have a good day, and look forward to talking to you again
very soon.
I did tell you that was going to be an in-depth conversation. They got down into that poll and really dug down and talked about a lot of stuff in there about the unaffiliated poll and really getting the pulse of the unaffiliated voters in the state. And again, as we said before on the show about the unaffiliated voters, those are the votes people are fighting over for. Most of the registered Democrats will tend to go Democrat. The registered Republicans will tend to go Republican. And then they're fighting for the votes in the middle, which is an ever-growing group, as you know, in the state. So again, thank you to Francis and Susan for coming on and talking with us about that. Thank you to you, the listeners, and I will not bore you with all the details about how you can engage with us or subscribe to the show again. I would just say subscribe, follow along on social media, and we will catch you next time.